On today's Compassion Radio.
A friend of mine from high school reconnected on Facebook, and he's recently become a Christian. And in such an amazing moment of vulnerability, he said, you know, I've been sold an idea about Muslims. And when you told me you work around Muslims, I'm just scared for you. I feel like you're going to die. Like you must be so scared. And if I'm wrong, can you help me understand how I'm wrong? What a good question. And I said, you know what? It's funny. I've lived here, you know, a long time now, and I've never felt like I was in danger. In fact, I feel like the Muslim community here is so warm and open to us. I mean, they see us as family.
Seeing the world as family. That's Compassion Radio. And thank you for joining us for this final installment in a new series looking into the lives of modern missional young people, bringing this ancient but evergreen gospel in novel, powerful ways to the world. This is not your grandparents' missionary show for sure, but it's the latest chapter in God's ongoing adventure documentary of his family transforming the world. We'll get right to it with our guest, a young lady from the American Northwest who joined her husband in a very modern calling with ancient roots and power. We'll get right to it right now. I think you're finding God's design for you. And there are probably a lot of people that are just like you, that are just entrepreneurial and just as seeking of joy and opportunity to live life to its fullest that never knew that someone like you existed. And therefore, they might consider the possibility of going themselves because this isn't the only way to do it the way I think missionaries have to act.
Yeah, for sure.
It could be a joyful, fulfilling, bountiful life. It can be. Some people, I think, would jump at the chance to do that if they knew that it was possible to be joyful in doing it.
Yeah, I do think it's rare. I mean, the country I'm in doesn't have a ton of Western expats in it. There's not a lot here, but I have never met another person or couple doing what we're doing. You're either here with a big charity or government program, like, you know, UN or WFP or whatever. You're here under some kind of humanitarian umbrella, or you're here as a missionary. I've yet to meet anyone doing remote work for an American company or a Western company while funding yourself that way. I've never seen anyone else do it. I know that it's probably not occurred to many people, but also I do think those jobs sometimes can be hard to find for a number of reasons. So yeah. I'm thankful. I realize that's not easy to just go out and get for everybody, but God's met our need in that way, which is cool.
And it seems like he's met your need, not just in sustenance and make sure you have enough shekels in your pocket to go buy dinner, but he's peppering your life with people that are becoming friends. And that you have people that you're depending upon and having a real community with people that are actually inviting you into their community.
Yeah, that's true. People are proud of the country they live in, even though it's broken. And it's a blessing to be able to enjoy what it has to offer people.
I've heard it described a few times that when it comes to third culture missionary families moving into a culture. And like you say, you're third culture to third culture right now. You are kind of internationals with internationals. As much as you are making friends with indigenous peoples from the country you're in,
yeah.
So it's a different strata. It is traveling between all these things. So you're being an international traveler, even where you are. But it does seem like when you get sent for those who are bitter about what they've had to go through or what's been expected of them, like they've had to check their desires and their personality, their life at the door in order to become a missionary.
Yeah.
It's like their greatest joy is misery.
Yes. And it becomes like a badge of honor. Like, look at how much I'm suffering. And that's given me like authority because I'm suffering this much. It's weird.
And then locals are saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm so much a burden to you.
Well, no, exactly. Exactly. How is that effective? I had a 19-year-old gal that I was discipling, and she came out here for a visit. And she said, what's your number one advice to me? Because she wants to be a missionary. And I said, my number one advice is go back to America and get a degree that you can use here or something you can do remote. And then have a vision, have a mission and purpose. But like, find a way to work your tent making into that. Because when you have to fundraise every dollar of your life, and then you're living on these like shoestring budgets and you're so stressed out about that. It's really hard to be generous with your money because it's not really your money. And it's exhausting. If you live in a country that allows you to work, find a way to get a job, even meeting people missionally. Do you know how weird it is to meet someone and be like, oh, why are you in my country? And be like, "Oh, I'm a missionary," immediately walls go up. I mean, like, I had to stop calling myself a missionary in the UK because when I said that, people would stop speaking to me. They're like, "Oh, that means you're a racist bigot. We don't want to be friends with you." So I think that there's something to just saying, like, if you can get a job and meet people naturally, like you would in America. Like, I've spent my whole life sharing the gospel with my coworkers at various restaurant jobs and cafe jobs. It was the most fruitful mission field I ever had. Just get a job and just start hanging out with your coworkers. Get to know your customers. Like, this is how you become a part of a community. Very hard to become a part of a community when you're here as a missionary doing missionary things. It just puts you in a weird box. And I think you don't meet people organically. So it's changed our whole world to not be fundraise missionaries. And I would never go back.
Yeah, I would say the one qualification I put to that is for those who are called to be raising support because of the different paradigm. If God
Sometimes.
calls you into that, it's going to be something God does bless. And even Sandy and I are kind of in that transition ourselves to be more responsible and dependent upon certain kinds of missionary support than we've ever had in our lives. So it's going to be an interesting transition for us on that front as well, because we've always been employed people in all the things we've done with ministry work. But it can go both ways. The important thing I think you've identified here is that there is a false dichotomy between being missional and following God's calling in that, and having to feel like you need to snap into somebody else's paradigm for how that's done, what it means, what it's going to cost you, and who you're responsible to, and who gets to judge you. When all that stuff compounds, it becomes, like you say, that weight, that wet blanket you mentioned sinking into the mountains of your country that you're in. It is a spiritual weight more than anything else, because I do believe God's going to provide in the way that's going to bring out the very best in us.
For sure, for sure. Yeah.
And you and
Yeah,
your
and I don't
husband.
mean to say that God's not providing. I mean, I look at my missionary friends and they probably have more faith than I do because they do have to live like penny to penny of can they afford their kids' school fees, you know, and God provides for them. I see miracles, God providing funding for them, and I'm so thankful for that for them. I'm not saying God is against that or anything. I just think sometimes it causes unnecessary stress when there's a better way, potentially.
Yeah, I think you're finding God's design for you. And there are probably a lot of people that are just like you, that are just entrepreneurial and just as seeking of joy and opportunity to live life to its fullest, that never knew that someone like you existed. And therefore, they might consider the possibility of going themselves, because this isn't the only way to do it, the way I think missionaries have to act.
Yeah, for sure.
It could be a joyful, fulfilling, bountiful life. It can be. Some people, I think, would jump at the chance to do that if they knew that it was possible
Yes.
to be joyful in doing it.
Yeah, I do think it's rare. I mean, admittedly, the country I'm in doesn't have a ton of Western expats in it. There's not a lot here, but I have never met another person or couple doing what we're doing. You're either here with a big charity or government program, like, you know, UN or WFP or whatever. You're here under some kind of humanitarian umbrella, or you're here as a missionary. I've yet to meet anyone doing remote work for an American company or a Western company while funding yourself that way. I've never seen anyone else do it. I know that it's probably not occurred to many people, but also I do think those jobs sometimes can be hard to find for a number of reasons. So I'm thankful. I realize that's not easy to just go out and get for everybody, but God's met our need in that way, which is cool.
And it seems like he's met your need not just in sustenance and make sure you have enough shekels in your pocket to go buy dinner, but he's peppering your life with people that are becoming friends. And that you have people that you're depending upon and having a real community with people that are actually inviting you into their community.
Yeah,
So
that's true.
tell me a little about, if you can, what it's like to be welcomed in, the hospitality that's being expressed to you to come be part of something. How is that taking shape in your lives?
Yeah, at least for where we are here. I was actually talking to a friend about this the other day. A friend of mine from high school reconnected on Facebook, and he's recently become a Christian and was super curious about Africa. And in such an amazing moment of vulnerability, he said, "You know, I've been sold an idea about Muslims from the American news and whatever movies he's seen. And when you told me you work around Muslims, I'm just scared for you. I feel like you're going to die. Like you must be so scared." And he's like, "If I'm wrong, can you help me understand how I'm wrong?" What a good question. And I said, "You know what? It's funny. I've lived here, you know, a long time now, and I've never felt like I was in danger. In fact, I feel like the cousin community here, the Muslim community here, is so warm and open to us. I mean, they see us as family. In fact, the other day, I was just in a little fender bender in the crazy traffic here, about, I don't know, a 2-minute walk from our house. And I couldn't get a hold of my husband because he was on a work call. And so I just called one of our neighbors and just said, "Hey, are you home? Can you come and help me deal with this?" Because instantly there's just a mob of people, and there was a lot going on, and I felt really vulnerable. And so he's this big guy. Not a minute later, he was there. He's like, "Just get in your car, I'll deal with it." And he walked out, handled everybody, paid off whoever, told them all to get away from me, and like caravaned me back to the house and checked, "Are you all right? You have everything you need?" And it's just stuff like that. I mean, when we're sick, people show up with food. And when it's our anniversary, people bring by gifts. And even last night, actually, I'm one of the only women in our block. It's a very male culture. So actually, that's a whole other thing. But the neighborhood I'm in is almost entirely men. And I don't get to go to most of the parties because I'm a woman. That's okay. I was discouraged about that last night, actually. I'm like, oh, this extrovert heart needs to go to parties. And I'm missing all the parties. And our neighbors were having this big party. It was all men. And off my husband went to the party, and I was kind of moping, feeling sorry for myself. And he came back, and then later, a knock on the door, and it was our neighbors. All these guys had brought over a bunch of biryani for me. And, oh, we know she didn't get to come, but maybe she's hungry. We'll bring her some food. And so, even in the layers of different cultures, of I wish there wasn't sexism. I wish religions didn't, cause this weird gender divide. But even in the midst of that, they're thinking, oh, like, how can we make sure Carly had something to eat tonight or whatever. I've been really sick here a few times, and people have just immediately gotten me to hospitals or made sure I had medicine. It's just amazing. We just feel so taken care of, and we really feel like our community here sees us as completely part of them. And anything we need, they would give you anything. They're so generous.
We'll be back with more right after this. And if you don't mind me saying so now, I hope this short message will stick with you as well. For you are essential to the mission of Compassion Radio. We truly cannot do it without you. Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you. And now, back to our discussion.
I mentioned just another random anecdote. I mentioned to one guy who's going back to Lebanon to visit his family. And I said, "Oh, I love Lebanese food. Lebanese food's so good." He's like, "Oh, yeah. Do you like harissa?" And I'm like, "Oh, harissa is great. The country I live in, you can get almost no imports, and it's very hard to cook. And I love to cook, and I just can't cook here. So I've had to die to that hobby of mine." I've met this person twice. We are not close friends. It was at a total big event. It wasn't like a personal conversation. I said, "Oh, yeah, I love harissa. It's such a great spice of yours. Great." That guy came back 2 weeks later, came to my house with a giant bag of harissa and was like, "I brought you some from Lebanon." And I'm like, "You don't even know me. Like, what in the world?" And suitcase space coming back and forth from a Western country or a international country to this country is like gold that you would give. I don't even know if I would give someone my suitcase space for a bunch of harissa. So it's just stuff like that. Just really, it's a very thoughtful culture. And I think especially because we're living in a community of people who are also not in their home, even though many of these families have lived here for three generations, this is still a foreign country to them. They've survived because they're supportive of each other. So they really know how to support each other well. And they've kind of adopted us in. And that's amazing. To my knowledge, it's us and one other American couple. We are the only non-Asians living in this area. We're the only Christians here. I've never met another one.
And what that means for missional in the years to come would be something that God has to work out his own economy on.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to measure your metrics on how big your churches are by the time you leave or God calls you back to the States. It's something else. He's investing you in a way that's planting for his long game.
Yeah.
And these people are important to him.
For sure. Yeah. And I think spiritual attack looks different. I kind of thought, oh, spiritual attack will look like persecution or, people hating the gospel. That's not what does it for us. Like, the number one way the enemy attacks me here is chaos and noise all the time, because we're in the middle of a city and I cannot get away from noise, and it drives me insane and it makes me want to just die. It stresses me out. It may I'm overstimulated. I don't want to see anybody. Just put my earplugs in and like go read a book, because it's too much. That's something so dumb, but it just like grates on me.
Now I can imagine why the sauna is so appealing to you. I bet there's probably some
Yes,
quiet
literally just
there.
go in there and it's just silent, because we're just in the middle. If it's not the backup generator, it's the mosque. If it's not the mosque, it's the club. And if it's not the club, it's the dogs on the street. It's just chaos. Things like that that you would think, oh my gosh, just get over it. But constant noise, it's just, oh. Or we have a little house church here, and one of the biggest hurdles, we've got amazing friends who want to come, and they've come before, and they're open, they want to talk about Jesus. It's so great. That is not a problem. Anybody here will talk about Jesus with me. Super open people. Some of them want to convert me, which I love, because that just means great conversations. But one of the biggest hurdles is that all these dudes are just sleeping around with the local population while their wives are in these other countries. It just so happens that every night we go to meet together as a church, oh, there's a girl that's showing up to the neighbor's house, and oh, they're busy now. It's stuff like that, or I'm like, what? How is that keeping people? So it's like weird things like that.
You're back into first century Christianity right now, but when you come to a new city, what's it really going to be like to be living missionally in a culture that is worldly in every way? But human connection needs are what you see in those kinds of transient relationships for sure.
As a woman, it's weird, because I've lived in the UK and even in the States. Even though I'm from a small conservative town, I would say my husband and I are pretty egalitarian. We do mission together. We're both empowered children of God. We don't have a hierarchical marriage. We've always done mission together. And it's weird, because actually, to be all things to all people here means that I kind of have to blend into the culture in a weird way like that. Like, I can't really sit out in the living room with all the guys and chat. Like, I need to go bring in food and like clean and be kind of quieter. And that's super hard. So actually, in many ways, I read the book of Acts and I'm like, oh man, this feels super real.
And super imminent as well. My daughter, when she was in college at Biola, started a ministry with one of her professors at the time that was called Two Faiths, One Friendship. And they were actually getting invitations to go sit with Muslim women across Los Angeles and having those, let's talk through scriptures together. Yours and ours together, tell the story. And they built some very strong friendships that were genuinely open and opening up into the real levels. But it was also with the understanding that you had to go find the women in the communities that were Muslim in LA and actually go to them and say, we would love to come to you and let you express hospitality to us because you'll be safer that way than thus inviting you out of your safety to ours.
Exactly.
So, and so they did that. They started building those opportunities. And the stories I heard of what came from that were powerful. But it seems like the way you're telling about the expat community that occupies that section of the city you live in, there's not that many women around. Are there places where women are actually physically present but are just invisible because of the way the society works?
So I've always been surprised. It feels predominantly male, because you only see men. Men are in the streets, men are in the restaurants, men are having parties, men are always everywhere. Women, I mean, there's certainly more men than women. The women that are here don't leave their houses. They're housewives, and they've been imported from India or Pakistan, and they sometimes don't speak anything but the local, or like Punjabi or Urdu or Hindi. They don't speak, and they don't learn French, or they don't learn Swahili or any other African languages. They just stay inside and have children and cook, and it's really hard to meet them. I have met quite a few just through asking questions. Maybe my husband will meet a guy and say, oh, he has a wife and he said you could go over or whatever. But yeah, if I want to see them, they won't come to my house. I have to go to their house. Usually bring tea or biscuits or something. And then it's going to be a lot of shallow conversation for a long time, because they don't trust each other very easily. So, yeah, you really have to work very hard at finding ways to reach women. There's been a handful of women here who have been part of the giant exodus out of this country because people are leaving because of the economy. But there was a few back in the past few years, women who really knew the Quran well and wanted to talk about it. Those were the coolest relationships, because we could just sit there and I love theology, and that was my degree, and like we'll just go and chat, and it was just so incredible. But yeah, I think because the economic state of the country I'm in is so in the toilet, they've all sent their families back, and there's just not that many left here. So it's an odd position for me to be in, where my season of life as a wife at this point is very supportive, which is great. I love supporting my husband and all of his cool extroverted adventures. But our biggest prayer right now is for a team. Like, we really are just praying every day, God, please, will you just send a handful of people who feel called to this area and let us somehow meet them? Because it feels like right now, it just feels like that trench is very far, and we are two people, and we need more people. And especially we need some women, because I'm kind of doing this solo and it's not great. So we're going to be here a long time. So we're committed to the cause. We're building relationship. We're laying the groundwork, but we're really praying in a team. Yeah.
Well, you just described a whole chapter in the nation's history where Exodus is happening or some kind of captivity. I mean, being sucked out of the country because of economics or just being isolated. There's a lot of loneliness that gets left behind when people get stolen away from you. For whatever reason, you are the witness to this. And this generation, you're able to see it as a third culture person. It's usually easier to see what's going on in that culture that's not the same as it used to be. You have better eyes for it. But you also have a need that's as human as theirs is. So maybe you need to start praying the meta prayers like you prayed the first time around. Say, God, I really don't want to go there, but if you do such and such, my fleece gets wet in the morning or it's dry the next day, whatever it is, I'm willing to listen if. Maybe you need to start praying that way for the people who are praying that way like you did. There might be some of those out there that are just waiting for someone or something to come tip the domino over for them.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, if, as long as we're on that point, if whoever is listening to this, if you are like, I might feel called to love Muslims in a cool African country, and I'm curious about it, like somehow find a way to get a hold of us, because at this point we're just like, Jesus, bring us people. Ideally, we're looking for single people or couples without kids, because the neighborhood we're in is really hard with kids.
I could put that out there for our Compassion Radio listeners that if you
Please
are
do.
hearing this, maybe not you, someone you know has been talking to you about what would it be like to actually serve in a country where nobody goes, but is actually a real country with actually a real society and real culture and actually real infrastructure too.
There's a lot of fun of being here, and we've taken in quite a few like 18 to 20 year olds who are just curious about mission and just want to survey the options. And we're both networkers, so we're connected to tons of people here. So like next week, we're having this 19 year old guy stay with us for a week who just wanted to understand what it's like to live here. He's never been to Africa, so we're introducing him to lots of friends and kind of letting him see our life. And fine, that's great. I love that. Just send people here.
And your hospitality is part of your mission as well. Well,
Yeah.
Carly, this conversation is just beginning for you and I, and we get your husband involved with this pretty soon, hopefully face to face when you're back in the States here this year. But I do want to spend as much time as I can with missional people that God has actually dropped in, parachuted in like you did, in ways that brought you to life, even though he felt like it was a living death for a while. That you and your husband have a spark in you that just you see beyond the next horizon. And when you're even telling your story, I can tell that you're self-editing all the time, saying, what do I say to this person in front of me so they'll get what's important right now? Because I can't tell them everything.
It's too much.
Be overload, they'd be running for the doors. But the story that God is writing you is a beautiful one, and it's full of adventures. And it would be a multi-volume adventure series with missional people that God has actually dropped in, parachuted in like you did, in ways that brought you to life, even though he felt like it was a living death for a while. That you and your husband have a spark in you that just you see beyond the next horizon. And when you're even telling your story, I can tell that you're self-editing all the time, saying, what do I say to this person in front of me so they'll get what's important right now? Because I can't tell them everything.
It's too much.
Be overload, they'd be running for the doors. But the story that God is writing you is a beautiful one, and it's full of adventures, and it would be a multi-volume adventure series.
Go, and I think if you have a pulse and you love Jesus, you're called to missions.
There
Like
you
if
go.
whether it's here in America or here in Africa or here wherever, and it doesn't have to look like the way anyone else has done it. The Lord knows you, and He knows who you are, and He knows how you're wired. And there's a way to be used and to be sent, even if you just get creative. God's super wild and fun. And I think there's cool ways that you can be used. Yeah, it doesn't have to look like maybe what you have always thought missions looked like.
Fair enough. And your welcome, I think, would be a lot for people who are adventurous and don't want to be just stuffed in a box for what they think missions is about.
people like you provide the kind of influence or guidance about what life is really like if you step out from this and into this.
I think a lot of people think that all of these missionary global people are all these sort of wild adventurer, like apostolic. That describes my husband. I'm not. I'm like the caution one. I love homemaking. I love shopping. Like I'm not somebody who's just like, let's go live in a hut till we die. Like that's not me. Yeah. And yet here we are and God's using it. So you don't have to become someone else to be missional. Give the Lord who you are and he'll use it.
Fair enough. But thank you for going to the end of the earth anyway.
Well, it does feel like the ends of the earth here. Yeah. It's very far away.
Okay. Well, bless you. And again, thanks for being with us on Compassion Radio for these programs.
Thanks so much, Bram. It's been an honor.
My thanks to our guests for the past 3 days, Carly, a missionary who's living a very exuberant and joyful missional life with her husband in the central regions of Africa. I hope you enjoyed hearing from her directly. If you missed any of this program or any of the 3 episodes in this series, just catch our podcast on our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.